This is the Dating and Relationship Show with Laura Bellotta from singleinthecity.ca, Toronto's news. Today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Happy Sunday. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Dating and Relationship Show on AM 640 Toronto. I'm your host, Laura Bellotta, and tonight I'm joined by my co-host and friend, philanthropist and media personality, Joan Kelly Walker. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. What does hookup culture look like right now? This week on the Dating and Relationship Show, we're joined by Aditi Paul. Aditi is a dating and relationships researcher and professor based in New York City. She uses her dual background in technology and relationship science to examine how dating apps are transforming people's personal and sex lives. She's also the author of the recently released book, The Current Collegiate Hookup Culture. Tonight, we're going to be taking a look at hookup culture, how dating apps play into things, and how Gen Z is handling dating and sexual relationships. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Aditi.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura and Joan. I'm so excited to talk with you about all things sex, Gen Z, and technology.
Well, welcome, welcome. So let's start by chatting about hookup culture, something that is especially prevalent with Gen Zs. Can you give us a little bit more insight into what it is?
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a difference between hookups and hookup culture, where hookups is basically you're doing something sexual with someone within a casual context. But when you're talking about hookup culture, it's the expectation that you should hook up. So whenever college students enter campus, especially freshmen and sophomore, they have this image of what college life should be like. And one of that very important factor of college life is hooking up with people, increasing your sexual repertoire. So even if nobody is hooking up, everybody thinks that the other person is hooking up so that they also hook up. And this is very, very prevalent across college campuses. What this means is even when people are not having as much sex, everybody thinks the other person is having sex, so they too tippy-toe into that culture.
Wow. So let's talk about your new book. First of all, congratulations. This book is full of insights into this generation and hookup culture based on the data gathered from a national survey of college students, which I think is totally fascinating. So I want to talk about what were some of the most surprising findings that you came across, but can you start by defining Gen Z a bit more? What are the ages of these students? What years would they have been born?
So Gen Z is anybody between the years of 1997 to 2012. So they are people who are still teenagers going to college. So if you think in terms of like psychology, they are emerging adults or they are young adults, either of the two. And this is a moment in our lives where we are in our exploratory phase, right? So we want to explore everything. We want to know ourselves. We want to try new things. That's who Gen Z is. One of the most interesting things about Gen Z is this is the first generation to be born into technology. So whatever they have done since they were children, it was mediated by technology. So you're thinking YouTube kids, and when they grow up, they are into Discord. And when they go into the dating world, their go-to is Tinder. This is so, so different than what we were born and raised with. So that makes them very, very unique. In terms of what I have found out about Gen Z. The first thing is Gen Z, as much as they use technology, their go-to way of making friends is still face-to-face. So when I did a nationally representative sample of 318 students, I asked them, okay, so let's talk about your last hookup. Where did you meet your hookup partner, the last one that you had? And surprisingly, 40% of students said that they met their hookup partners through face-to-face contact. So that could be through class, or that could be through student groups, or that could be through dorms. It's hardly through technology. Technologies are up and coming, and it's becoming the go-to way of meeting partners for LGBTQIA+ individuals. So people who identify as lesbians, gays, bisexuals, they are more likely to use technology to meet partners than heterosexual students. Now, the kicker is, even when students use dating apps, they still resort to face-to-face connections. So if you look at the numbers, 75% of all college students, doesn't matter gay, doesn't matter lesbian, doesn't matter straight, 75% of the entire population is on dating apps. But only 25% of that population said that they met their partners through dating apps. So they are on dating apps just like they're on TikTok and Instagram. They're just digital selves, and they're scrolling each other's profiles like they're not real people. They're still prioritizing real life connections over online connections.
I am so glad that people are meeting, you know, these young Gen Zs are meeting face to face. I mean, there's still hope.
Yeah, me too. I'm happy to hear that.
I am too. And I know that research shows that it's more common for young people to end up in situationships because of the life stage that we're at, meaning more hookups rather than finding actual relationships. And when it comes to sex and love, we're slowing down and we're not rushing into anything too serious. You know, like I find that people are focusing on themselves, you know, their studies, their careers, and having more financial independence before they commit to someone. And I also think that the pandemic has played a big part in this. You know, the last 2 years of being in and out of lockdowns, I think it's been really exhausting for people that they don't really have, I mean, some of them don't have the energy to commit right now. I know the older generation does, right? A lot of them, like I'm seeing this through my dating service, they want to hook up. But the younger generation, I feel like they don't have that energy to commit right now. And so being in a situationship is probably just the easiest. How do you feel about this? Do you think that Gen Zs are more interested in hooking up rather than actually finding relationships?
You know, we would think that Gen Z has this very laissez-faire relationship with sex, and they just want to explore and be the love generation back in the 60s and 70s. That is not the case. Generation Z is not hooking up as much as we were. And the reason being, Generation Z's type of interaction is highly mediated. So, for example, when we were hooking up back in our college days, we would meet somebody, we would chat with them, and then something sexual would happen. But the way Generation Z is hooking up, it's highly protracted. So they, let's say they meet somebody in class, then they're chatting with them. There's a fair amount of Snapchatting that's happening. There's a fair amount of DMing that's happening. They're sussing each other out. And when they do go out on a date, that date becomes very substantial. That is like their step number 7. Whereas for us, the first date when we would eventually hook up was step number 2. So this delayed or protracted communication channel could dampen their chances of having sex with another person or escalating it. Add to that COVID. So one of the questions that I asked them was their level of sexual disgust. And it's a part of an overall disgust that we feel toward an unknown situation. And because of COVID, because of our heightened awareness toward pathogens, et cetera, that anxiety is also really, really high. So these factors have dampened their proclivity toward hooking up with somebody who's a complete stranger. Now, things change and things are different when they're hooking up with somebody who they already know. And that's what's happening more often with Gen Z.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that Gen Zs are more interested in situationships?
See, the thing is, situations, their goal is not to get into a situationship. Let's put it this way.
Nobody's goal is to get into a situationship. I mean, yeah, well,
right.
Most ladies will tell you that anyways.
Right. What they do, because again, like, you know, we always have to keep technology at the forefront when we are talking about them. A lot of these boundaries that we have been able to set as a generation who has not grown up with a staple diet of technology, it happens face to face. So, for example, if you hook up with somebody and if you don't want to hook up with them anymore, you cut all ties. That's done. But now think about Generation Z. The way they hooked up with somebody is through mediated communication. So you like somebody, you follow each other on your Instagrams, you DM each other, they like your picture, etc. And then as the attraction grows, then you escalate it into something sexual. Now let's say that the sexual interaction that they had was bad, or one of them wanted to get into a relationship and the other didn't, and now they are in a sticky situation. But since they are already connected on Instagram, let's say you put up a picture of yourself and you see the guy who's looking at your picture. Now you're like, wait, so is he still interested in me? Like, why is he looking at my picture? What? Where are we going with this? So a lot of these open-ended, sticky, uncertain situationships happen because of these technological factors that intermediate their hookups and even romantic relationships.
So you know what? I have to jump in here because I have kids that are Gen Z. So don't you think that Gen Z is educated and experienced with social media? Like you mentioned, they grew up with all of it, but they've had enough experience with it to see that social media is only one version of the person. Like it kind of sounds like they're putting too much clout into, oh, that photo is actually what they look like. Or, you know, it all comes down to, did that person like my thing or not? They're not taking into consideration that maybe the person was busy and they missed that photo. So don't you think that those kids, I call them these young adults, emerging adults, you know, they see through that. Isn't that right?
And that's an amazing question, but we got to answer that after the break. We'll be right back. We're going to stop right now to take that break, and we're going to chat more on hookup culture and Gen Z when we come back after the break.
You're listening to the Dating and Relationship Show with Laura Bellotta from singleinthecity.ca. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Welcome back to the Dating and Relationship Show on AM 640. I'm Laura Bellotta with my co-host tonight, Joan Kelly Walker, and our special guest, Aditi Paul. And we're getting back to our chat on Gen Zs and sexual behaviors.
Okay, before the break, I was just commenting, you know, we were talking about relying on social media to connect with other Gen Zers. Now, I've got young adults in my life that are Gen Zs. So I think that they have been educated, they're really experienced with social media, that they know that social media is really only like a certain version of another person. So how are they taking that information and translating that into an actual connection with someone?
Yeah, Generation Z, they have two things going on for themselves. Number one, they are digital natives, like we talked about. They have grown into technology. And they also have us, that is Gen Xers and millennials, and to some extent, even boomers who have used technology enough to be able to guide them. So they have their own expertise together with the kind of advice that we have to give them, versus when we were growing up with technology, our parents never used Instagram. Nobody knows about Tinder in that generation. So we were kind of working it out on our own and figuring out these rules as we move forward. But now Generation Z has a guidebook, like you said, Joan, that is, they know that this is not authentic. This is just a part of them, their lives. This is not their entire lives. Now, what they're doing because of that is there's a lot of push in the technological world to integrate Gen Z's organic behavior online and tying it back to their dating profiles. So there are multiple apps. There's one app in France called Fruitly or something, which connects Gen Z's TikTok and their meme and the type of memes that they like into their dating profile. So authenticity is a big, big word in Gen Z's dictionary. They're not looking for fluff. They're not looking for perfectionism. They want to see who you are, the real you, and then decide if they want to foster a relationship with you or not, whether it be it online or even offline.
So are you finding that Gen Zs use less filters and they're more real about their life on social media?
They don't need filters, Joe.
They don't need filters yet.
You know, the thing is, okay, let's think about it in terms of like generational conflicts, right? Like, and this, again, I want to like step back and remind ourselves that as human beings, we don't change that fast and that much, it's a very, very slow progression. So let's stop thinking that Generation Z is like some alien being that has come and struck us from planet Mars. They're not. They're more similar to us than we give them credit for. The reason I'm saying this is when think about every generation that has walked on this planet, be it boomers, be it Gen Xers, be it millennials, be it Gen Z, we have always rebelled against the generation that has come before us because we want to tell them, no, we are different than you. We have evolved. We are this, that, yada, yada. Now think about the behavioral characteristics of millennials on social media. We were binging on perfectionism. We were growing up with the Kardashians. We were growing up with the Instagram influencers where we have this pressure of portraying our lives as the best thing yet. Like every day is interesting. Every day is picture perfect. Now comes Gen Z and they are really tired of this BS. They are like, you know what? Like we do not mess with this. We are going to show up as our most mentally ill, deranged selves and you're going to be able to take it. So now the pendulum has swung to that side of the spectrum where we are showing up on social media, and this is very prevalent in TikTok, like our messy selves from our bedrooms, not trying to show yes. who we want to mm-hmm. be versus showing who we really, really are. So those things have pushed the needle toward authenticity.
Right. But also on TikTok, I mean, they actually want you to use their filters. Right? Like I think you get more views when you use their filters. So aren't these Gen Zs taking yeah. advantage of that? Because I'm on TikTok and I definitely take advantage of those filters. Like, yes, they want us to use them.
Yeah, but tell me. So talk me through the filters that you use. What kind of filters have you used?
Cutie, I put some lashes on me sometimes when I just woke up and I'm like really tired. I use another one that just basically like I just use them when I'm more so tired, but just one that, you know, puts a little color on my face. I don't alter my looks entirely. I don't believe in that. But sometimes, you know, you just add a little filter on top to give you more of a fresh look.
So, and also it's just yeah. easier. Like you can take one or two pictures and get a great picture instead yes. of like, oh, that didn't look
Thank
good.
You.
I better try this. And it takes longer without the filters, I find. And my kids are 20 and 22 and they're barely on Instagram. Like I spend way more time on Instagram than they do.
They're on
but
TikTok,
I've been working.
Yeah, they
are, but they're not addicted like mm-hmm. like my generation is. Like mm-hmm. they really can kind of take it or leave it. Somebody hacked my son's account and he felt really bad and he contacted all of his followers and let them know. He was more concerned about protecting those other people so that they also wouldn't get hacked. And it took him a while to get another account set up. And now he's like, yeah, he's very laissez-faire about it. But I'm happy that things are like that because, you know, even if they're Gen Z and they look perfect, they are still using filters. Like these are girls that are, you know, some of them quite young and they're already doing Botox and getting their lips filled and, you know, doing all that stuff. Mm. So I think it's really positive. Aditi, like you said, the pendulum has swung the other way. I just don't know where the pendulum's going to land. What do you think? Where is it going to go from here?
You know, I think let's think in terms of what Cardi B would think for a second. So people used to get their butts done. They would get used to get their boobs done before Cardi B came into the picture. But Cardi B was transparent about it. She said, listen, I made this money and my teeth was crooked and I needed my boobs to look a certain way. So I'm going to get all of this done. And she did it. And she was open about it in the same way. Think about the filters that we use. We all know we use filters. But the fact that it shows up on our stories and on our TikToks that this filter was used, that is the level of transparency that Gen Z or the current tide is going toward. That, yes, we know social media is curated. We know we look like crap most of the time. So, yeah, I'm going to pad it up a little bit by using a filter. But I'm going to let you know that I did it. So you're not living in this wrongful assumption that I look this way. Versus I made myself look this way because I want to. And you can take it or you can leave it, but at least you know.
But Aditi, we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. But you know what? There is a way. If you add your video into another app, like you download it, you add it into another app, let's say, and then you re-upload it, then it doesn't show that you use that filter. So I'm sure I see people doing that as well. So, but Instagram, TikTok, they don't give you that opportunity to hide the filter. So if you're using it, you know, people are going to know you're using it. So
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Well, Joan, I have a lot to teach you, my love.
I know. I'm terrible. Terrible. I have so little time for this. I don't want to sit there and like learn every little detail. So I wait for things like this to happen. And then you tell me.
Okay. So Aditi, do these Gen Zs tend to lean towards hooking up with people that they already have a relationship with, do you think? Or are they more adventurous and looking for something with strangers? Because I know when I was that age, I was always so excited. I was the girl that would go to, you know, I always played sports when I was young, and I look forward to hanging out at the school so I could meet the new boys, you know. I was always adventurous. I didn't stick with my group. What are you finding nowadays?
The former, that is, Gen Z does not hook up with strangers at all. Talking about probably. So when I ask them how many, so this is what happens, right? Like, and this is also very, it depends on which demographic you're talking about. And it varies according to your sexual orientation, let's say. That is, when I ask students, the last person that you hooked up with, did you have mutual friends with this person? How many times did you interact with this person? How frequently did you hook up with this person? And I took it all of these factors as an indicator of their familiarity with this person. And more often than not, 75% of Gen Zers said that they had a mutual friend with this person who they hooked up with, that they talked multiple times per week, and they would hook up with the same person once a month or 3 to 5 times in 2 months.
You also said 75% of all college students are on dating apps. So is that more just like an expectation? Everybody's supposed to be on these apps, but they're not really using them entirely?
That's exactly right. So Gen Z uses dating apps like they use TikTok. It's can be cursed. It's like a no thing for them to use. Everybody has a Tinder on there. It's like having any other app. It's not consequential at all. They're just using it as is. And they're not always using dating apps to date. Dating apps have a plethora of uses. Sometimes they want to bump up their self-esteem, so getting a couple of right swipes sounds great. Sometimes they want to get over their ex, so like going out and like getting a couple of right swipes, feeling that you're desirable.
Why, Laura?
I can't stand that, because what you're doing essentially is you're wasting people's time. Right. People that are being intentional with dating and they want a relationship, they go and they use dating apps, and then they come across people that aren't really serious, that haven't done the work. They're trying to get over someone, or they're just dipping their toes, or they're just, you know, out to, you're right, get a boost,
to make you feel
like
good.
an ego boost. And it sucks. Mm-hmm. It really sucks. You know, you hear so many people saying, oh, dating apps don't work. Yeah, they can work, but you gotta be able to weed out the people that are really out there to waste your time, you know, and that's one of the things that I teach people. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm very passionate about this subject, because it drives me absolutely crazy.
How do you do that though? Like, is there like a code you put in your bio, like serious relationships only, or so, like, do people actually, like, how can you pick them out?
Well, there are all sorts of things. Like if you're chatting with someone, for example, and they're not, you know, you're wanting to meet them, because you can only chat for so long, you know. You find like, let's meet up, and then they never commit to meeting up, or then they commit to meeting up and then they cancel plans, or if their bio doesn't read anything. So if you check, you know, they, first of all, they only have one picture, or their bio reads something like, oh, ask me anything you want, or I'll tell you later, or just dipping my toes in. Like, these are little, like, there's so many more. We can't get into everything right now, but these are little signs where, you know, you shouldn't even give this person time of day, right? You should just be like, okay, swipe left. Like, don't even waste your time on those people. But people do waste their time on those people, because they're they like the photos, you know, because a lot of people's photos online suck. They really don't put any effort into them. So when you come across a profile and go, oh, well, he looks good, or, oh, she looks great. Well, I don't really care what she wrote in her profile. But then you're chatting with this person and you figure out, you know, down the road that they're not really being serious, or they're not intentional when it comes to, you know, looking for love. So you just need to steer away from those types of people, right? I mean, there's so much more, and we've talked about this on other shows, but yeah, that's pretty much it, Joan.
you're talking to the one who's never been on a dating app.
Like, lucky
I've
you.
Never uploaded a profile, but I have been with my girlfriends who are like swiping left and right. And to be honest, I get a real kick out of it. It's like, oh, what about this guy? What about this guy? And just going back and forth like that, like, I can see how addictive it is, because it's fun. It's fun. And it's
actually
kind of
funny. It's not fun. It's entertaining. No, you think it's fun because you're married and you'll never, you're on the outside looking in. But for people that are doing it, it's exhausting. And it really can suck. Like, if you don't know what you're doing, you're not being intentional. And that, again, that's what I teach people, right? I teach people how to be more intentional so that they don't waste their time with the wrong people online. But we need to take another break. When we come back, we're going to be diving into the dangers of hookup culture. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Dating and Relationship Show with Laura Bellotta from singleinthecity.ca. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
It's Sunday night. You're listening to the Dating and Relationship Show on AM 640. I'm Laura Bellotta, along with my co-host tonight, Joan Kelly Walker, and our guest, Aditi Paul, turning our discussion back to hookup culture and its dangers.
So, you know, your book, Aditi, is based on data from a national survey of college kids. My question is, now, is it different for kids that didn't go to college? Did you look at that at all, or is it all Gen Zers would be the same?
I particularly focused on students, Gen Zers who went to college. So I cannot speak to what Gen Zers do who do not go to college. That was one of the boundary conditions of my research project.
Okay, and hooking up, Aditi, might feel fun and carefree, but it definitely comes with its share of issues, okay? So let's talk about some of the risky decisions and consequences that can come with them. Like, are they concerned about things like STDs? Are they concerned about pregnancies? Are they taking the precautions to protect themselves? I would assume so, but you never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're concerned about some things that we think they should be concerned about, and they are. And they're also concerned about things that would never occur to us. So I asked these college students, well, out of all like places where you could have met your hookup partners, where did you meet a majority of them? And a majority of them said through class. Some of them said through dating apps. Some of them said through parties. Some of them said through work. And for each of those contexts, I asked them, okay, what's the benefit of meeting your hookup partner through these meeting contexts, and what's one of the risks? So for parties and dating apps, one of the most dominant fears that college students have is STIs, that they think that they're going to contract an STI, or they're worried about that. And it comes with the fact that most of these people are strangers. You're meeting them for the first time, or you're meeting them maybe the second or third time. You hardly know them is what it is. But other things that they're worried about is, at least when they're meeting their partners through dating apps, is catfishing, that they are concerned that they'll be disappointed when they meet this person in person, more than sometimes contracting STIs. So it's very interesting that they are more concerned about being disappointed than being infected.
Hop on a video call.
Wow.
Solution. Hop on a video call. There's a solution. There you go.
Wow. Are they concerned about their reputation or how people perceive them? Like, if they're meeting people mostly in class, let's say, or at work or something, are they concerned to think, well, I hooked up with this person and that person and they all know each other? Like, is that, like, that used to be a thing when I was in high school. You were always protecting your reputation because that's, you know, according to my parents, that's all you had. Yeah. Did they think like that?
Yeah. Yes. So for people who are going to, like, who are hooking up with people they met through, like, you know, class settings, like, you know, going to the same class, etc., they're worried about awkward conversations. That is, okay, if I hook up with this person, things don't go well, and I'm still in the same group project, things can get very awkward, and rumors can fly around. So it's less egregious than high school because you're away from your parents, and this is a completely new field that you're working with, and colleges are much larger than high schools in size. So they're not as worried about, like, reputation. It's just that awkwardness that comes with seeing this person again, and they're not about that.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, though. It does. It does.
Yeah.
Now, sexual assault is another dangerous consequence that can come with hooking up, whether you know your partner previously or not. I mean, it happens. What were some of the findings like? Do you have any of those findings? And do you also find that men and women both reported similar issues if they did?
It was interesting, the kind of data points that I got in my research study, to the point where I went, did not see this coming. It was how college male sexual victimization is on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be attributed to
Me too.
Our heightened consciousness about what assault looks like. So I asked college students 6 questions, that is, during the last hookup, and they all pertain to sexual assault victimization, sexual assault perpetration, unwanted hookups, unwanted touch, etc. And what I saw was 25% of college men said that they were touched by their heterosexual partners without their consent, and the chances of them experiencing this sort of lower order sexual assault was the highest when they met somebody through a school setting. And this corroborates tons and tons of findings in sexual assault research, which says that you're more likely to be assaulted by somebody you know versus somebody you don't know. So this idea that we have in our heads that dating apps are going to cause or increase the chances of date rapes and sexual assault, absolutely, we need to rethink that, because our familiarity with people who we meet through dating apps is low. Our familiarity who we meet through school and college settings, really, really high. And since we are more likely to be assaulted by people we know, then in that effect, school settings become the most riskiest, not dating apps.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So it all comes down to consent. So, I mean, obviously that's always the most important thing when it comes to any sexual relationships. How much is the importance that Gen Z places on consent?
Gen Z is extremely aware of this. And yes, we need to give credit where credit is due to Gen Z, but we also need to give credit to the generations that have come before us, who have continuously started to speak up. And Gen Z is reaping the benefits, and they are magnifying it, and they are taking it forward. So now, because of the Me Too movement, because of a plethora of conversations that we've had on sexual assault, Gen Z knows the textbook definition of what sexual assault is. So when I asked an 18-year-old white male heterosexual kid from high school to explain what consent is, his definition was by far the most robust definition that I've ever received. So that means that they know what sexual consent means. But how do you practice it? What does it look like in real life? Those are very muddy scenarios that we still need to navigate.
I'm going to have that conversation with my kids.
That's great. We have to take one last quick break. And after the break, we'll be discussing what we can learn from these clients.
Listening to the Dating and Relationship Show with Laura Bellotta from singleinthecity.ca. Toronto's news. Today's talk, 640 Toronto.
You're listening to the Dating and Relationship Show. It's Sunday night. This is AM 640 Toronto. I'm your host, Laura Bellotta from singleinthecity.ca, joined by my co-host tonight, Joan Kelly Walker, and our guest, Aditi Paul. Getting back to our chat on hookup culture and what we can learn from it. Now, Aditi, I just want to summarize here, okay? Because we've talked about a lot. So what are some of the most important things that we can learn from this study about how Gen Z view sexual partners and hookups? And do you find that they're more sexually liberal or more conservative?
Gen Z, not all is lost with Gen Z. Let's start with that. They are not morally deranged. We should not be highly concerned about them. There's a lot to be optimistic about Gen Z. And a lot of these things that I have found out in my inquiry about Gen Z seems to reflect what we have done as children. They are confused. They are not ready to be vulnerable. They have self-esteem issues, et cetera, et cetera. It's just that the external forces that they're working with to navigate these age-old issues are different. So before we used to navigate the idea of sexual pleasure and sexual consent face to face, now that they have technology to do that. What I would ring the alarm bell on as far as Gen Z, as LGBTQ Gen Zs are concerned, is to be very, very careful when they are exploring their sexuality. That is to always use protection, because the use of protection among LGBTQ students was really low. And it could be chalked up to the fact that we are not aware of a lot of these sexual safety practices, especially same-sex female relationships. Like, I don't know about you, I never knew about dental dams. But I spoke with sexual health coaches and they told me, oh, there's this thing called dental dams. I'm like, oh, okay, makes sense. So that's something that I would make them aware of.
You
but how are
is.
They supposed to learn about, I remember hearing about that in high school and just thinking it was, you know, I don't know what to do with that. But how are these LGBTQ students supposed to learn? Like if they don't have that information, who do they turn to?
So it's the job of administrators in high school and colleges to listen to the kind of research that we are doing and change their policies accordingly. So one of the, for example, in my research study, I saw that students who sexed their partners are much more likely, 193% times more percent more likely to have unprotected sex with their partners. So if you're sexting with your partners, then when you actually meet them, then you're more likely to escalate that. So not only should we be teaching Gen Z, hey, use condoms, we should also say that, hey, be aware of the digital technological sexual advances that you're making, because this has direct repercussions on your sexual health. Get to know female sexual pleasure and female sexual health practices so that you can safeguard yourself and your partner and still have a good time. That's what it's all about at the end of the day, right?
Mm-hmm. How about OnlyFans, Aditi? Like, how do things like OnlyFans play into this hookup culture? Because it seems like the Generation Zs have been especially quick to jump onto this.
Yeah, and again, it's years and years and years of us pushing the needle to destigmatize sexual work, to destigmatize sex work. So just the other day, a post went viral when a woman on LinkedIn put sex work as one of her work experiences, and that post went absolutely viral. So we are progressively moving toward a generation where sex work is becoming destigmatized. Sugaring is becoming destigmatized, and that's yielding more and more power to the provider of these sexual services. And Gen Z is leaning toward it together with, like, you know, women empowerment, together with destigmatizing, together with authenticity, living your truth. All of these environmental factors are making things like sugaring and OnlyFans much more acceptable and lucrative for individuals such as female-identifying individuals who have been stigmatized earlier for doing these things.
I don't know. That's so sugaring acceptable? Really? I don't know if my kid came home and said, I'm sugaring. I'm getting money to help me pay my college or put me through college. Like, I don't know if I would be accepting of that.
Even if they're sugaring, chances are they're not going to say that to you. but they do. But they do sugaring the way sex work works. That is, one of their friends does it, and then they talk to each other about it, and then they've got another friend. So it's very, very similar to sex work.
We're going to run out of time here, but I have to ask now. With all the data that you gathered, is there anything that you learned about Gen Z and hooking up that older generations can learn from?
To not take dating apps that seriously.
That's what do you mean?
That's important.
What do you mean? Don't take them seriously. What do you mean? Don't take them seriously. You know how that's the majority of the older generation. I mean, that's how they're meeting up. Unfortunately, I wish, you know, things were different, but I think that a lot of them do have to take it seriously. I mean, if they're going to put themselves on there, I think that's one of the issues with dating apps is that people, they're not serious on there. Where if you're not serious and you want to meet someone, then go on Instagram or DM someone or something. Go on TikTok and send someone a message. But I think dating apps should be to meet people for connections.
Yeah. And dating apps, you know, let's not think that dating apps are not taking inventory of the gripes and the frustrations that users have. For example, Hinge, it has a new feature where when you enter, you let them know what your intention is. So user researchers in dating apps are taking note of that, and they're creating new technological products that support the intention of the user. So if you are somebody who's looking to be in a relationship, the app now has a feature where you can state it. So people are recognizing that and they're using the apps in a more conscious way.
Or put it in your profile. You need to write in your profile what you're looking for, what your intentions are, and have those conversations early on as well. When you meet someone, have that conversation. What are you looking for? Right? So there are no blurred lines. Well, thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the Dating and Relationship Show. Aditi, if someone would like to continue the conversation with you, where can they find you?
Thank you again for having me on your podcast. If you want to connect with me, I'm on Instagram by the handle I am Aditi Paul. My LinkedIn is Dr. Aditi Paul. My Twitter is I am Aditi Paul. And my website is dradithipaul.com.
Thank you so much. And Joan, where can we get a hold of you?
On Instagram, I'm Joan Kelly Walker Official, or on my website, joankellywalker.com.
And I am Official Laura Bellotta on Instagram, on TikTok, and please visit singleinthecity.ca if you're looking for love and you would like me to help you find love. Thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the Dating and Relationship Show. Until next week, ciao for now.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.